You're listening to Rage Quit Radio with Mike Brown, Rich Morrow, Dennis Lee, and Nathan Starwolf.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 25 of Rage Quit Radio. This is Mike playing Signar and Mercs, supposedly.
Nathan playing Retribution.
And right now, folks, Dennis is probably being swamped by schoolwork.
Yep.
Being
probably.
That he is a professor. I don't know his schedule at the moment.
School started back last week.
So. Yep. And Richard got a big boy desk at his job now.
He did. He doesn't have to drive around as much.
Yeah, and so I imagine they may have him, or a case of exhaustion or some such. But that's okay. We've got a couple of newcomers.
I'm sure he's not playing any other games right now.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm sure that he has not yet found, you know, I don't know, Dark Age or Relic Knights or something. But we are joined by a few, couple of newcomers, so we will let them introduce themselves.
My name is John Jennings. I play Signar and Gators.
I'm Chris Grupp. I play Legion and Highborn.
John and Chris will be joining us here. John, you're relatively new to War Machine?
I picked up Gators probably about 2 years ago, I think, but I didn't really get to play a whole lot.
Okay.
I was in between jobs, and I did a master's program.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So I didn't get a whole lot of time. And I picked up Signar earlier this year. And
okay.
They're coming up there.
And so everyone knows, coming in and out potentially over the course of the next hour, we will have our dear friend Evan.
Hello!
Evan is going to be jumping in and out of here, I think, periodically. You're not going to be here the whole time, I don't think.
No.
But... So we do have almost, well, we have two-thirds of the cast of Rage Fit Requit. Or that's what the host calls it anyway.
It's copyrighted.
And how long have you been playing, Chris?
About a year now.
Okay.
I took a six-month break in there while I was moving down here and starting grad school, but yeah, about a year.
Okay. And you just played in the Borderlands qualifier for the Carolinas Invitational.
Yes. Got third place, but the first and second place winners were not going to Mace, so I got the invite.
Well, congratulations. I hope you have fun up there representing Borderlands Comics and Games at the Carolinas Invitational. It is a rough, rough field to play in. Mm-hmm. So it ought to be interesting, and you're going to get a lot of good games in that weekend. So we're going to be talking this week about spoilers from Gen Con, if we can call them spoilers, because the models have been out now. I guess they were released at Gen Con, at least for Gen Con. So we're going to be talking about the new casters coming out in Exigence, kind of giving you the Reader's Digest condensed version of those. I do need to give an apology, though, because by the time you've listened to this, episode 24 has come out. You did not miss anything by the fact that our feed goes from episode 22 to 24. Because Audacity decided one day that it hated me, and it was probably operator error, but at any rate, episode 23 got ate by my laptop. So we have now joined officially the realm of various podcasts across the globe in that we too now have a missing episode. Beyond that...
We can make a Doctor Who reference. We call it the Sade episode or whatever.
Oh,
Tom
yeah.
Tom Baker missing up.
So episode 23 of Rage Quit Radio from here on be known as Shada.
Yeah.
And then we've had some delays in episodes coming out, and we've had a couple of weeks where we have missed getting an episode out entirely. And I'm going to take the heat for that because I'm the guy that edits it, and I'm the guy that uploads it, and I can count the number of days off I have actually had since April 28th between my two hands and not run out of fingers. So it's exhaustion and a complete and utter lack of free time, but we're going to try and keep on the ball and get these things coming out. And they're passing notes over here, or passing a lap, a phone anyway.
It's a known
part. So, what seems to be the... What's
Helga does not have a PAL 20.
Helga's PAL 20 shield cannon on War Room, which is a known misprint.
They fixed that with one of the updates.
Well, not in his.
Not in the most recent update.
So we will talk more about Helga and her PAL 20 a little bit later on. But I would like it known out there... Nate here was actually at Gen Con.
I was.
Nathan was there for, what was it, like 70,000 plus people in Indianapolis?
I would believe it. Every year, this is my seventh Gen Con, and every year it gets more and more packed.
And
I gotta say that this year felt less packed in the dealer room than in previous years, because like normally the exhibition hall last year I was in the exhibition hall for maybe a total of 1 hour because you could not navigate it. There were so many people in there, so many people that were just unaware of their surroundings, people with like baby strollers, people with huge book bags, people carrying around boxes of shit and just getting in the way. So unless you knew exactly where you wanted to go, it was impossible to kind of roam, which is like half the fun of the room. This year I was able to roam around a little bit because I want to say they expanded it, the exhibition hall, even further than they have in years past. It was, I mean, there were like it's probably twice the size it was when I went 3 years ago.
Well, I listened to a few other podcasts, gaming related, not all of them about War Machine and Hordes, but I was listening to the Dice Tower, which is a board gaming podcast. A wonderful one if you ever get a chance to go. Not that they need us to show for them, but
yeah.
TheDiceTower.com. It's an awesome show. And Tom Vassell, who's the host of the Dice Tower, is out there talking about it. And he's been there, and he's been to Essen, the big board gaming convention out in Germany.
Essen-Spiel.
Right. And
yeah.
Essen, that was unnecessary. But Essen has always made claim to being the biggest gaming convention in the world. And it was something like their best year turnstile numbers. And anyone that's heard us talk or has heard the folks from Scarab talk with us, or on another one of our friendly podcasts, the Carolina Gun Bunnies up in the NC Gun Bunnies up in North Carolina. There's turnstile numbers, there's actual butts and seats. And turnstile numbers is how many times someone comes through the door. So the same person will get counted three times if they're through 3 days. Well, the turnstile number for Essen, their best year was something like 150,000. And Gen Con, when they were talking about it, last year, Tom Vassell made the claim that Gen Con was bigger than Essen, and the folks at Essen, or someone associated or some big fan of Essen, somebody related to Essen in some way, got offended. Well, they got the turnstile numbers from Gen Con this year. The best year Essen ever had was 150,000, and Gen Con this year was in excess of 160 or close to 170,000. So
yeah.
It really is probably the biggest gaming convention on the planet
it's,
now.
It's huge.
So
they had all of the games in one hall. Like, all of the tabletop stuff, so all the card games, all the... Like, it completely encompassed the Indianapolis Convention Center, which they increased the size of the convention center so that Gen Con would stay in Indianapolis.
And they may have to do it again, from what it's sounding like.
Yeah. Pathfinder was, like, in its own ballroom off to the side. It was completely packed every time I walked by it.
Gen Con signed it. 20-year deal with the city of Indianapolis, so it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right. It's huge.
I can tell you, to put people in perspective of this, we're in Anderson, South Carolina, the Electric City, as it is called down here, and the population of Anderson is, rough estimate, in the neighborhood of 25 to 29,000 people.
That's city limits.
Yeah, within the city limits. There's triple that in essentially one building at Gen Con.
Yeah.
So... it's kind of ridiculous. But Gen Con, big to-do. Nathan was there with an opportunity to fly the Rage Quit colors proudly on the biggest of the big stages in gaming. You know, to go there and throw his minis down on the table against the best in the world. And when it comes time, when the chips are down and you need that guy to fly your colors proud and to represent like no one else can, because nobody else has the money to go, like no one else can... you can count on Nathan Starwalt to find a different game to play.
Yeah, yes. I texted Nathan because I knew he was going to Gen Con. I couldn't go this year, so I was like, "So, you know, how'd the Star Wars tournament go?" And we talked about that. It's like, "Oh, so what War Machine tournaments did you play in?" Because I didn't even think it was a possibility he wouldn't play War Machine at the biggest gaming convention in the world.
Yeah,
and his response was, "I didn't want to deal with the hassle of bringing my minis." And,
in Nathan's defense, if I was at Gen Con, and the only reason that my wife and I don't go consistently anymore is due to young, tiny children, we wouldn't play War Machine. We'd play L5R. Not even the card game.
So the thing is, it's a 9-hour drive, effectively. And, like, I don't mind putting my bag somewhere in a room at a place like Gnome Con or Mace. where there's probably 25 to 30 people playing War Machine, and I know most of those people. And at something like Gen Con, I don't know where I would keep my bag. And like you said, there's 70,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody could walk by, and like, it, you know, there's no shortage of people who, like, there's a reason why they put all the Yu-Gi-Oh! Players in a separate room at Gen Con. So, I mean, so, like, I don't want to keep...
Not that you're generalizing. Or
not that I'm generalizing. But, yeah, so, I don't want to keep up with, I don't know, you know, $1,000 worth of models.
Yeah.
I mean, and depending on how long the tournament is, I mean, if it's like 8, 10 hours... You know, I don't want to have to, like, keep checking on that. It would just be physically exhausting.
You know, and I'll tell you, it's one of those things where I'm not even certain a minis player, and again, this isn't a dispersion, but I mean, it's a known fact, and we've been part of both communities. I think everyone here in the room have been CCG players, role-playing gamers, tabletop board gamers, and minis gamers. And you watch your cards like a hawk if you're a card gamer. But with minis and a room of dedicated minis players, I've never had to worry about my minis going anywhere. Like Lock and Load, Lock and Load's got, you know, a couple thousand people there probably, but I can leave my stuff on one side of the ballroom. When I was there a couple years ago, I would leave my stuff on one side of the ballroom at the Red Lion, be on the opposite side of the ballroom doing something else entirely, go back, my bag hadn't been messed with.
Yeah, so. The difference is Gen Con, all of the games are in one room for the most part. So, you have, like, 20,000 people in that room at any given time.
John's itching to say something.
I was going to say, all that lets me know is that if I want some free models, just find the next con Mike goes to and wait for him to walk away. Because he's not paying attention.
As if I don't know what all my stuff looks like. Well, but I have, because I'm painting some of John's models right now, I have considered just bringing my versions of all the models I have of yours and going, here's loners.
It's fine. So, I'm fine playing Peace Striker.
Yeah.
He's...
So,
but I am happy to report that I won the 2v2 Star Wars LCG tournament with my friend Justin Lizza.
Yeah.
We beat, like, so the team that we beat, and these names probably don't mean anything to you, but the team that we beat for the finals was Matt Coles and John Herr. John Herr won Star Wars LCG Nationals this year. Matt Coles won the Star Wars Nationals last year. And they are both former world champions for UFS.
And they're really good. They're really high in Netrunner, too, aren't they?
Probably.
So effectively, what you're telling me is you and Lizza are essentially co-national champions.
Right. If we were to put this in wrestling terms, we're the tag team world champions.
Yeah,
right
to be the man, you got to beat the man. And y'all beat the man.
Yeah.
So, gotcha.
The finals for that, it was untimed. The finals lasted for that tournament 5 hours. It was an Iron Man competition.
Nathan, when I say this with the utmost love and respect. To hell with that.
It was like a matter of pride. Because, like, it's like both of our, like, our teams just, like, neither team would cave in. The first game itself lasted 2 hours. 2 hours. The tournament, like, the previous tournament, like, the rounds to get to it, only lasted 6 hours.
So your final match lasted damn near as long as the whole rest of the tournament.
Yes. Yep.
And on that bombshell, we will now get over to our Clockwork Arms calendar of events.
This is your Clockwork Arms calendar of events. On Saturday, October 11th at 2 p.m. at That Computer Store, Irmo, South Carolina, they'll be kicking off their Journeyman League. On Sunday, October 12th at 12 noon, Ready to Play Trading Cards in KC, South Carolina will host a 35-point steamroller event, Two Lists Divide and Conquer. And on the Convention Horizon, Mace 2014, home of the Carolinas Invitational and the Last Chance Qualifier, will be at the Hilton Charlotte University Place, Charlotte, North Carolina. That's November 7th through the 9th. Siege of Augusta 24 is January 16th through the 18th, 2015, at the Doubletree by Hilton in Augusta, Georgia. Lots of War Machine action, including the 6th and final Scarab Convention Open. And January 16th through the 19th, 2015, will be Scarab 2015 at the Medallion Convention Center, Columbia, South Carolina. In addition, to the Scarab War Machine and Horde Championships, there'll be two preliminary heats to fulfill the last four spaces in the championship round of 16. If you want your events mentioned on the Clockwork Arms calendar of events, be sure to put your event at clockworkarms.net. You can find links to all the great stores and conventions we've mentioned at ragequitradio.blogspot.com.
Okay, everybody, we are back, and we have got Exigence spoilers to discuss. So, John and Chris, not our favorite penguin, Chris, he's here too, he just showed up. So,
yes, with interest in what I'm looking at right now.
Well, then pull up a chair, Penguin, and we'll get this taken care of.
Yes.
So, what we got here, folks, we have, I think, six casters to kind of go through in somewhat rapid succession. So,
five, I think.
Three. Berka, we've discussed on the podcast before, so we got five.
Also the Nerf, which I think I remember most of what it does.
We'll hit the casters today. So let's start with Circle, since they're first in alphabetical order.
And the worst.
And let's see what we got here.
Really?
We have Bradagus Thorl the Rune Carver. So he's a 6 Fury caster, 17 boxes. Yeah. He is 6 War Beast points.
I like it.
Speed 5, Mat 6, Rat 6, Defense 14, Armor 16. He's got Pathfinder. He has a Range 8, Rate of Fire 3, Pal 13 gun called the Stone Throw. And then he has...
He's just
chucking rocks at people. And then he's got Stone Strike, which is him hitting people with rocks, which is a Reach P+S 13 melee attack. And to kind of go over what he does here, he has Earth Magic, so when a War Beast with Construct in his battle group is forced to use an Animus while in his control area, the cost of the Animus is reduced by 1. That's nifty.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's insane.
It's
really good.
The thing is, the Wolds have really low fury.
Right.
Like, Wold Watcher is 2, Wold Weird is 3, and so on. Like, they don't have a whole lot of fury, so that lets them actually cast their Animus and do other stuff in their turn.
Mostly, because I think all of their Animus are Fury 2 is the cost.
The Wold Watcher is only 1, but the Arcane Suppression, the Flesh of Clay, and the Forest thing are all 2. So.
Then we have Shape Stone, which is a 9 skill star action. And essentially, it is a repair for friendly faction constructs. He's going to be base to base, make the skill check. If he passes, heals D6 damage. I'll be honest, I don't know why they didn't just call it repair.
Right.
Because
constructs aren't repairable. Or woes are specifically not repairable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. Because it says any damaged construct, period. So he's steady. He has Stonebinder, which means he can only take Construct War Beasts in his battle group.
Oh, that's because if he could take any of the living Circle War Beasts, he would be absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, and we'll get to that later. Both of his weapons have Beatback, and Stone Strike has Crit Smite on it. So just looking at what we've seen so far, I'm not a fan of his defensive stats, because 14-16 seems like just enough to get you killed.
Especially on a large base.
Yeah. But, as you pointed out...
So, the thing is, you're going to take him with a lot of... You're going to take him with, like, probably a Wold Guardian, and then, like, a whole bunch of Wold Watchers, and they all have Shield Guard.
Right.
And he could cast the Animus of the Wold Guardian and get Flesh of Clay. So, he's not really going to be shot off the board. And if you're using the Animus for the little dudes, there's not going to be a whole lot of movement shenanigans that can be used to get Bradagus charged by by stuff. So yes, he's got bad defensive stats, but so does like Cassius.
Yeah.
And in my experience, if Cassius is killed, it's because you put him in a position to be killed.
So we're looking now at our spell list. He's got 4 spells. We'll go over the two everyone knows first. He has Rift. That would be the AOE 4, cost 3, range 8, pal 13, nuke that leaves rough terrain behind.
That's really good because of Geomancy on the Wold Wardens. So.
He has Synergy,
yep.
Which means those Wolds aren't going to be so pillow-fisted by the time he's done.
Yep.
While in his battle group, it's the 2 cost upkeep, control area, self-range. While in his control area, models in his battle group gain +1 cumulative bonus to melee attack and damage rolls for each other model in the battle group that has hit an enemy model with a melee attack this turn. while in his control area. The two, one of which I've never heard of, so may just be I don't play hordes. Battering Ram costs 2, range it's, 6.
That somebody else has that. I can't think of who.
Pal Strakoff.
Strakoff, yes. Commander Strakoff.
Stroganoff. It's when an enemy model is hit by Battering Ram, it can be pushed 3 inches directly away from the spell's point of origin. And this one I find intriguing, and I think is kind of cool. There's a hate I have on it is that it costs half a stack. Mystic Wards, which is not an upkeep. It is not an offensive spell. It is area of effect control, range self, costs 3. Enemy, animi, and upkeep spells on models in his model on models in his battle group that are within his control area immediately expire. So basically purification for his control group, for his battle group
it's like,
only.
It's like a banishing ward that you get to cast on all of your dudes.
Right. Yeah.
So it doesn't knock off your own synergy or your
correct.
Own
enemy. Correct. Yeah. While within 5 inches of a model in this model's battle group in its control area, enemy models cannot cast, channel, or upkeep spells. This lasts 1 round.
It's
that
pretty,
last part is dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. It's pretty good. Because, like, I mean, this list is probably going to look a lot like all of the other synergy lists that are out there, where you take a whole bunch of light war beasts in this case. I don't think any Hordes caster has synergy.
No.
Yeah, and I think it's going to...
For good reason.
It right. looks and feels like it's probably going to be Monsters of Ra.
Yeah. Well, so you're going to take, like, 5 or 6 World Watchers who cost 5 points apiece. And that's not, like, we don't know anything about his tier list yet. If his tier list gives any kind of point reduction, it's going to be stupid. But I imagine that it's probably not going to be the case. And so you could have these guys literally all over the board.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you're playing against, like, a dedicated spell army, like Krix or anybody like that, they're going to have, like, a nightmarish time trying to actually cast the spells they want. It seems really good with, like, journeymen around. Like, they can't cast any spells.
You know, Butcher's so going to be sad.
Butcher 3, like, because on paper, Butcher 3 is like, oh man, a 14-16 large base caster that doesn't really do anything, you know, he won't get to cast any of his spells.
So. Honestly, his strength is in a gun line. The amount, if you run the little dudes with the fertilizer guns, and then you run geomancy guys, and the amount of rifts and forests you can put out, Menoth is going to cry in a corner.
Right.
Yeah.
Even
if you take that gun line, it can very quickly turn into a melee army once you're at close distance
with
synergy.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very adaptable.
I mean, that's the thing about the world. Like, they have a gun that nobody has ever used in the history of the world because they're like Rat 5, and if they want to boost both ways, that's it. They've used all of their fury, so they can't Animus, and then they can't Stone Form, which is what keeps those little dudes alive. But now they can Animus for free.
Yeah,
with him, and then yeah, it's good stuff.
His feat I find very interesting. Choose a table edge and a distance up to 5 inches. Models in Thoril's battle group that are in his control area are pushed the chosen distance directly toward the chosen table edge in an order you choose. So think Gorton's feat, but your stuff, not theirs, and less distance. At the end of your turn, choose a distance up to 5 inches. Models in Thoril's battle group that are in his control area are pushed the chosen distance directly away from the board edge you had chosen. So here's Wolds that are suddenly actually going to be able to get an alpha strike and then get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
So it's like playing P-Vale, but with Circle.
Well, and also, since this is a push, it works with Shifting Stones.
I would think. Well, no, Shifting Stones are not part of his battle group.
No. I'm saying you could teleport the model with the Shifting Stones and then push it.
It's not a movement.
It's only advanced,
Yeah. And then push it and then boomerang them back.
Yeah.
You could even boomerang stuff back into a unit of Shifting Stones. Well, actually, it's in the turn, right?
Yeah, it's in the turn.
Just kidding. But the thing about Shifting Stones, they're really important, too, because they can actually heal your constructs.
Yeah.
So I definitely see 2 units of Shifting Stones with whatever Bradagus list you're going to play. They also help mitigate fury, and even with synergy, especially because of synergy, and even though your dudes only have like 2, maybe 3 fury, they're gonna be running hot. They're not gonna frenzy because the construct beast can't frenzy, but you're gonna need those shifting stones to take all the extra fury off, so that you can actually throw all the attacks you want to throw in a turn.
So, Chris, you play Circle. What do you think of this guy? Well, you have played Circle. Yes. What do you think of this guy?
If he was around when I was still playing Circle, I'd probably still be playing Circle today. I like
he looks really interesting. He's another rock caster, which they don't have.
Right.
Which is what I like about it. Because instead of playing Boulder, fun. I now got instead of playing Boulder all the time, I now have him.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know
I like his model a lot better than I like Boulder's model.
Yeah.
I don't know that I think he's competitive. I think that feat gives him some really interesting play, though.
Yeah, and well, it's kind of like Pete Baldur's tier list, where it's got insane matchups and it's got really bad matchups. Yeah. Yeah. You can play anything that can crack armor really well, like Krix. Like Brad, I guess, probably doesn't want to play against Krix. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be fucking ugly. So, however, if you're playing against like Signar and you got like a pile of armor 21 dudes and Signar like just can't shoot all
at
the
that
stuff
point,
off
Signar
the board.
Goes. Bow, 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 bow.
Yeah. They could be playing Siege.
That is the first hit.
They could be playing Darius too, but it ain't going to help them. So let's see here. Next up, we are in the Legion of Everblight. We have Absalonia, daughter of Everblight. This is the first time I've seen her. So
this bitch is crazy.
Okay.
She is
looking forward to this one.
She's got 18 boxes. She's got 5 War Beast points. She's 6 Fury. Speed 7, Mat 7, Rat 6, 15-16 defensive stats, not bad, Abomination, she's got 2 claws that are P+S 14 magical weapons.
That's like 14 in parentheses, but we'll see.
Okay, and P+S 12 Stinger, which is also a magical weapon. Her back of her card, she has Conferred Rage. Beasts in this model's battle group beginning their activation in its control area can charge and make power attacks without being forced. What? When this model destroys one or more enemy models during its activation, war beasts in this battle group beginning their activation in the control area gain +2 speed and mat for one turn. What the hell just happened here?
Yeah, exactly.
If that was her entire card, she'd be okay.
Yeah, blank the rest of this. Flight.
I feel like it's better from here.
Flight, there's ways around. Stinger, energy siphon. So
she's got the Kalissa thing.
Yeah, she's got the Kalissa take focus. Yeah. So let's see here. Next up, her spell list. Oh Jesus Christ! Teleport. Don't know why.
Yep. But she's got teleport, so that way she doesn't get killed when she uses her first ability.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, 15-16 is not going to save you against a heavy.
Why did they give them a Signar caster? Because I'm looking at her spell list, and 75% of this is from Signar casters. Return fire.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
For
Rav,
which is really great.
Yep. Yeah. So we got return fire.
I mean, even Angelus is a range attack. So
We have fortify. And then she has Psycho Surgery. Each model in this model's battle group currently in its control area immediately heals D3+1 damage points. Can only be cast once per turn. For those who are wondering, fortifies an armor buff +2 bonus. Affected model in any friendly model based base where they cannot be knocked down, pushed or moved by a slam. Return fire means if you get shot, you shoot back. Lasts for one round.
Melee attacks if they're in range.
Yes, can be a melee attack if within range. And teleport is move any place completely within 8 inches and then end your activation. So, psychosurgery seems dumb in Legion.
Original Absalonia healed?
Absalonia had the feat that removes all damage from
Absalonia 1 had the Darius feat.
I mean, all psychosurgery does is just heal, like, it's fury efficiency, basically. Yeah.
So it encourages people to do what they should have been doing already when playing against Legion, which is kill the beast all the way dead, or not at all. Fortunately, this is not very hard, because Legion beasts die if you attack them.
Right. Absalonia doesn't really help with that.
They're
still pretty fragile.
And then we have her feat, Metamorphose. Models in Absalonia's battle group that are currently in her control area gain +2 strength and what? And their weapons gain reach. Well, yeah, sure, why not? Last one round. Chris, I'm about to throw your phone at a wall. Hold on a second. Let's make sure we got this crap right.
Correct.
Feet turn.
Yes.
All of her crap gets +2 strength.
Absalonia activates. Absalonia pops feet.
Okay. So, if we're within her control area. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
So plus Epsilon, 2 speed.
So Epsilonia herself gets the bonus from the feat.
Yeah. So Epsilonia herself is going to get that plus 2.
Yeah, right. So
I'm talking about, her battle group.
Hold on. Yeah. So Epsilonia pops the feat.
Yeah.
She gets her bonuses.
Yeah, sure.
She charges something and kills it.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Now
she teleports away. Teleports to the safe spot. She teleports to the ideal location so you can activate all the rest of your beasts.
Right.
So now all of your beasts.
All of her beasts are flight, reach, plus 2 strength, plus 2 plus 2 speed, plus 2 mat, and don't force to charge or make power attacks.
What? Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the speed 10 shredder.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too.
Looking forward to a speed 10 shredder. I'm not looking forward to a speed 8 carny.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too.
And arm 22.
I suddenly have visions of like carnies doing like freaking long jumps across stuff.
Yeah. You need carnies for your flying circus.
Yeah, apparently.
Yep.
Okay, so she's definitely still a beast caster.
Yep.
Tell people that it's like, all right, so you've got your Legion Battle Box. You know, you're a new player. Instead of picking up, is this Darren Pythagoras as your next person, just pick her up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's kind of dumb. I like her.
She reminds me, in a lot of ways, she reminds me of Epic Kea. She doesn't have, like, the companion beast, but, like, the fact that you guys get to run and charge for free. Epic Kea's got, like, forced evolution, stuff like that. But, like, everything that Epic Kea does, like, absolutely does for the entire battle group.
Yeah.
So
I'm seeing a trend thus far, and I'll say straight up, it's a trend I like. Which is, so far, we're getting Beastcasters. Because when we talked about Borka on a previous episode, we agreed Borka is largely a Beastcaster, too.
Right.
So we're seeing a whole lot of Beastcasters out of this. Let's see here.
Really, if you're playing Hordes, you're not playing a ton of Beasts. I mean, I feel like you're doing
well, you got to play the right amount of Beasts. It's like War Machine, like, the right amount of Jacks is typically one. But in Hordes, you got to play Beasts proportionate to, like, your caster's Fury stack.
Mm-hmm.
Or ways that you have to mitigate it. Legion could run pretty heavy on Beast Simulator because they had like Shepherds and like Succubi and stuff like that that helped you with your Fury management.
See, and I've always found the proper number of Beasts to run is whatever you think is the proper number plus 1.
Yeah.
Because
one of them is gonna
one
die.
Of them's going to die. Yeah.
So, 4
Especially spinners. If you're playing Legion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Glass Jaw.
So I mean, so far I'm digging what I'm seeing. Let's see. Who's the epic? Who's the one?
Xerxes.
Yeah.
Shows what I know about
this.
Is
this the one that we saw?
Oh, wait a minute. I should have just looked for the one that said Battle Engine on it.
Yeah, I was about to say, big old rhino.
He's like a Battle Engine Cavalry.
So, next. Battle Engine Cavalry.
Yep. Yeah, why not? Just smash it together.
So, next up.
He's plus 2 right mad on the charge.
We're in Scorn. We have Xerxes, the Fury of Halak. Or Halark. I can't tell if that's an R.
I think it's Halak.
Halak.
Halak, sure.
Scorn Epic Cavalry Battle Engine Warlock. They physically could not have fit another keyword in that line.
I do not believe they did that.
No, I'm not kidding. Look at the card. It's like all the way across. Full.
It's full. Yeah. Oh, wow.
did Rob Liefeld create this?
So, 19 boxes. I would have thought it would have been more.
Keep going.
Fury 5, Speed 7.
Okay.
Sure, why not? It's Scorn. Speed 7, Mat 8, Rat 4. He's not shooting anything. Defense 13, Armor 19.
19 armor, boys. Yep.
Before the crayon.
Yeah.
Reach magical weapon called the Lamenter, and it's a P plus S 15. The War Standard is a P plus S 12 reach weapon. And then the Mount, because it's a big ass rhino, is a PAL 14, which I think is the biggest PAL. On a biggest pal on a mount to date.
It's a giant rhino.
Well, yeah.
you haven't gotten to how dumb the mount weapon is.
Yeah, we'll get there. Let's see. Oh, good lord. Xerxes has combat rider. During a combat action, it did not make a charge attack. This model can make a melee attack with its mount.
Okay.
Normally that doesn't work. War beast bond. One non-character war beast in Xerxes' battle group can begin the game bonded to him. Once per turn during his activation, Xerxes can cast the bonded war beast's animus as a spell without spending fury. That's neat. Lamentor has brutal charge, so plus 2 to charge attack damage rolls. The mount has knockdown. Knockdown on something that can make impact attacks. That seems fair.
Yeah.
And then, let's see here.
It's everything that he contacts.
Yeah, I know.
So he's got a 5-inch base.
Yeah.
And then Pitch, Star Attack. He just starts throwing stuff. Model throws a model hit as if it had hit with and passed the strength check to throw the model.
Wow.
The model thrown suffers POW equal to the POW of the weapon, in this case 14. The POW of the collateral damage is equal to the POW of this weapon, in this case 14. Okay. So far. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, like, the thing, like, if you're taking your battle engine caster and you're charging right into your opponent's army, he's going to get murdered. This is how it is.
Yes.
You know, if it would just be so bad if they had any access to, I don't know, sprint.
Right.
Yeah. Especially for free. That'd be terrible. Absolutely terrible.
So next up, we got a spell list here. Ignite. Range 6, cost 2, upkeep, friendly model unit gains plus 2 to melee attack damage rolls and crit fire.
Okay.
That's on a normal melee attack, so.
Yeah.
Mobility, because God knows they needed that.
Yep.
This is when...
Maw Kern wasn't fucking fast enough already.
This is when Coop decides to get out of Scorn, huh?
Yeah.
It's right when this dude comes out. Gotcha. You're in Scorn now, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
No, not you. So who bought Coop Scorn, or someone buying it? I thought someone was buying Coop Scorn. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Plus, cost 2, range self, AoE control, not an upkeep. Models in this model's battle group currently in its control area gain plus 2 speed and Pathfinder for a turn.
Yeah, several casters have mobility. Yeah. It's really good. It's pretty insane in Scorn.
Yeah.
And then, like, you don't have to take Rush like anymore. Yeah, like, you used to take Rush because it would give you plus 2 inches of movement. And it would give you Pathfinder. So now you don't have to take, like, the Gladiator. You get to shave that 8 points and use it for something else.
Right. And which in Scorn is huge. And then
you already got one huge base. Might as well put, like, the Mammoth on the board while you're at it. Mobility that guy.
Yeah.
Speed 6.
Why not?
Just trample the entire opponent's army away.
Yeah. It's got Counterblast as an Animus.
Yeah.
So you can Counterblast people with your Lamenter to pitch people away.
And then you have...
Charge.
And then you have Strength... Well, no, because the pitch is on the mount.
Oh, it's on the mount?
Yeah.
Okay, you can't make the attack.
Right. And then Stranglehold.
Yep, because why not?
Yeah. Cost 2, range 10, POW 11. It is an offensive spell. Model damaged by Stranglehold forfeits either its movement or its action during its next activation as its controller chooses. Our feat. Hand of the Ancients. All models...
Yes, you read that correctly.
The hell you say?
You did read that correct.
All models are in Xerxes' control area.
Now, this has been already errated so that you can't measure the distance from Xerxes to any model on the table. You can only measure his control area. But everything on the table is in his control area.
Yeah. For so, I spell the references, his control area is considered to be in it.
Yeah, I think a fairer way to phrase it would be all models are considered to be in his control area. Friendly faction models/units gain an additional die on attack and damage rolls. Discard one die from each roll, so your choice. Hand of Ancients lasts one turn.
Yeah. Yep.
So he's got a serious feat, but it hits the table.
Yep.
Yeah. That's dumb. Well, the feat's going to hit. The feat actually doesn't have a range. It just says friendly faction models.
Well,
period.
It doesn't need to
because it's everything.
Yeah.
But this means mobility. Don't care where I'm at.
I was going to say, what spells of his does that actually affect?
It affects mobility.
But more importantly, it affects
his ability to force people.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. So you can force, they can be 100 miles away, and you can still force
it. It affects his ability to force and to use Animi.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is it like Malak Karn with, like, Fate Walker or whatever?
Not to transfer, though. One turn.
Right. It'll be done at the end. But like with Fate Walker, you can move Malak Karn out of the control area, then move him back in.
Yeah.
You can also, like, Arcadons have sprint, so you could sprint up like a couple lightning strike up a couple guys, have them run out, kill stuff, move back into the control area at the end of the.
Yeah, I think that the Arcadon is one of the two obvious choices for his Warby Spawned because of the free sprint.
Sure.
The other one is the Basilisk Rhea for the giant bubble of no shooting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Basically, because taking him up to 17-21 against shooting is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And let's see what else we got here. So that's everything on Xerxes. Yeah. So.
They're really like
surprise, another beast caster.
I think they keep pushing the battle engine casters to try to get one so that it's like competitive. And I think Resnik is probably fine, but they seem to keep pushing them slightly higher.
Let's see what we got next here. Now we're going to where I think John will be far more interested. Which one you like? Jaga Jaga?
Yeah, let's do Jaga Jaga.
Okay, so Helga first.
Well, it's about that time.
Yeah. So can't let John leave here early. So we got Helga the Conqueror.
No, you're serious. Yeah.
let's see here. Honestly, it's because I think Jaga Jaga is going to be more impressive. If everything I've been told is correct. So, Helga, let's see here. Fury 6, 16 boxes. This is our first female Pharaoh caster, or Warlock in this case. 15, 16 defensive stats, not bad. Speed 5, Mat Rat 6, so average. PAL 13 shield cannon, range 10, rate of fire 1. Contrary to popular belief, it is not PAL 20. I think I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah. Mine still needs to update, apparently.
Okay. The Hunting Spear, P plus S 12. Range, reach with magical weapon. So let's see here. Pharaoh Warlock.
She has tough, too, right?
Yes, and she has tough. Pharaoh Warlock. Let's see here. Field Marshal Gang Fighter. We're seeing more Field Marshal stuff show up now that Convergence has come out, which I appreciate. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. So Gang Fighter, when making a melee attack targeting an enemy model in the melee range of another friendly faction warrior model, a model with Gang Fighter gains plus 2 to melee attack and damage rolls. Nice. Pretty cool. Set Defense means she's going to have a bonus. Anyone that tries to charge, slam, or impact attack her is going to have minus 2 to their attack. And Inflict Pain on her Hunting Spear. When it hits a war beast with this weapon, this model can place one fury on or remove one fury from the war beast.
Is that Victor Pendrake?
Has that? Believe so. And
Something like that.
I like the ability because it's probably a trap with her.
Right.
But I do like it because if nothing else, it lets you, if someone was sly enough to say, well, I'll be one fury shy so I can transfer to, no.
Yeah,
I'm just going to put the one on.
It gives you options. Anything that gives you options to shut off transfers is always going to be good. So
spell list. And she actually has a considerable one. 5 spells. Muzzle. Enemy warbeast damaged by muzzle cannot advance towards this model for one round.
It's not bad. It's definitely useful.
That's a range 10, cost 2, pow 12 offensive spell. Distraction. The model Assyria, or the spell Assyria, couldn't be allowed to have.
If you were wondering if Pharaoh was ever going to get an arc node, I think that's your answer.
Yeah,
Pharaoh will never.
There will never be a pork node.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, think about it. The whole rationale, supposedly, for why Assyria could not have distraction was because Rhett has arc nodes, and arcable distraction would be rough as hell. Think about it. Mercs outside of Magnus and arguably Fiona on a spell technicality don't have arc nodes, so Ashlyn's can't be arced.
And the thing is, like, Pig's already had access to, like, Crippling Grasp and stuff like that, which I think is mitigated by the fact that they can't arc.
Yeah. I mean, in this case, it's... and the biggest thing about distraction for anyone out there who doesn't know what it does, target enemy model or unit cannot make range attack, suffers minus 2 defense and mat for one round. So, I mean, it is fairly brutal to get hit by. Defender's Ward, plus 2 to defense and armor for friendly faction model unit to range 6. That's an upkeep buff. Dash, while in this model's control area, friendly faction warrior models cannot be targeted by free strikes. This model and friendly faction warrior models activating its control area gain, I love this, plus 1, because it says plus 1 question mark, plus 1 speed. Dash lasts one turn. It's as if War Room's not sure if it's supposed to get the plus 1 speed or not. which, as I've heard many a troll player lament, dash is wonderful when you have medium bases.
Yeah.
Not really. And then Cyclone, which I think isn't the only other caster with Cyclone, is Sorsha.
Yeah.
Cost 2, this model immediately makes a full advance.
Doesn't Naresh have it?
I don't know.
Naresh has one of the thing. Does it give defense bonus?
No.
Naresh has whatever the E Sorsha, because E Sorsha has, because I think P Sorsha has Cyclone.
No, one of them has Cyclone and the other one.
Windrush is what I'm thinking of.
This model immediately makes a full advance. It cannot be targeted by free strikes during this movement. At the end of the movement, this model makes one melee attack against every against each model in its line of sight and its melee range. Can only be cast once per turn. So gives Helga some stupid maneuverability. And Helga's feat, the grand finale. In case you weren't aware, folks, she is the, what is it? Her motif is the opera singer, Pharaoh. while in Helga's control area, when a friendly faction model hits an enemy model with a normal melee attack, the model, the enemy model can be slammed d6 inches directly away from the attacking model. The POW of the slam damage roll is equal to the P plus S of the attack. The POW of the collateral damage is equal to the strength of the attacking model. Grand finale lasts one turn. So every time you hit somebody, you can slam them d6 inches away from you. Period. Mm-hmm. Everything in her control area.
That's really good.
I mean, it's good, but it's definitely going to be something that you have to set up. It's definitely better against infantry than it is against like beasts and stuff that can shake off being knocked down.
But the thing is, that's a hell of a little scenario
feat. It is a nice scenario feat, I'll agree. And she's got Cyclone, too, so you can move her into a position where Cyclone she can slam, like, and it'd be like bowling ball kind of.
Slam,
because bowling for dollars.
You can also use Cyclone as a format to teleport if you really have to.
Right.
Yeah. So I like her. I don't know that she feels like she... None of the rest of these casters feel like they break anything in their factions to me.
But Dash is really good for pigs because your stupid slaughterhousers are so slow. They like with advanced deploy and Dash, they can actually get where they need to go. But she doesn't have anything that protects them, so they're...
Defender's Ward.
No, she has Defender's Ward.
There you go. Yeah.
Which means that you're no longer sitting around victim stats all the time.
Right. And that's one of the biggest problems with the pig infantry, is that they're like all 12, 15, and like relying on Tough to save them. And it doesn't matter when you're dead to every single attack.
Right.
So
I do like her. Then we come up to, and we'll come back and we'll hit everybody here a little bit. We just want to make sure that we got everyone taken care of on the list first. So last but not least, for John Jennings.
And me too. I got Gator.
Oh, and you too. We have Jaga Jaga, the Death Charmer. Speed 6, Mat 6, Rat 5, 14-16. We're back to those stats I hate.
That's fine.
Fury 7, 16 boxes.
It's five in parentheses. Her armor is in parentheses.
Okay. Yeah. Amphibious, so you ignore the effects of deep and shallow water, can move completely through them without penalty. While completely in deep water, you cannot be targeted by ranger magic attacks, and can only make attacks against other models in deep water. If you are completely in deep water, you do not block line of sight.
She's a gator, I mean.
Yes.
Every gator model has that.
Gator Man Warlock, so just the gator beasts. Chain Weapon on the Death Snake. The Death Snake is a reach P plus S 10, quote, melee weapon. Quote. I say that because it's not so much a melee weapon as it is she's throwing a freaking snake in your general direction.
It's like a bone snake too.
Yeah.
It's a bone.
Yeah. It's like a snake skeleton that she uses.
It's like a Heller and Scarath. It's a little one of those guys.
See, now what I have in my head is I have this vision of this like
tassel worm
of this like voodoo gator chick. With one of those plastic toy snakes that around you.
Ah, I got you. Ah, I got around your shield.
So, that's what I got in my head now. Somebody out there.
Attention cosplayers, you have to do this.
Yeah. On the interwebs, someone must paint her death snake up like one of those fluorescent colored, horrible looking things. As if that many people listen. But somebody out there, do that. Garcia, I'm talking to you. Because he would do it and it would look awesome. But anyway, the Death Snake is a chain weapon, so it ignores buckler and shield weapon qualities and shield wall. And poison. Gain an additional die on damage rolls against living models.
It is a snake.
Yes, it is a snake. So far, so good. Let's see here. 1, 2, 3.
If she's using her weapon, she's not where she needs to be.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. It's some desperation times.
Yeah. So here we go.
Let's be clear about that. Like, you don't want to run her into like black, like black dragon, iron fang, pikemen.
What her weapon means is that she has +3 speed on the first turn because she can charge as opposed to not being able to charge.
Yeah, that's correct.
So what we're talking about here is if she's doing that, we're in Admiral Ackbar territory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So let's make sure we do not subscribe to the Admiral Ackbar School of Trap Detection. Spells. Dead Weight. Cost 2, range 8, POW 12. When Dead Weight destroys an enemy living or undead model, choose an enemy model within 2 inches of the destroyed model. The chosen model must forfeit either its movement or activation, movement or action during its next activation as its controller chooses. That's not bad.
It's a shitty nuke with upside.
Yeah, that's how Bart has that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's range 8.
Right. She's not going to use it.
Yeah. Escort. Range control, range self, area of effect control, cost 2. Upkeep spell. War beasts in this model's battle group begin activations in its control area, gain plus 2 movement. This model gains plus 2 armor while one or more of its war beasts are within 3 inches of it.
It's the Ephiora. A bunch of people have Escort. It's just good.
Actually, I think Striker 3 has Escort, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bull 3 has it as well.
Yeah.
Ghost Walk.
Cost 3. Range 6. Target friendly model unit gains ghostly for 1 turn, meaning that they can advance through terrain and obstacles without penalty, can advance through obstructions if they have enough movement to get completely past them, and cannot be targeted by free strikes. That's nice.
It's pretty, yeah, pretty good with Gators. It's like, the thing is, like, sometimes your Gators get bogged down.
I was going to say, a common strategy against Gators is, like, you just throw a bunch of weenies in the way of them, and, like, yeah, they kill the front line of them, but they can't get past them. That's not a problem anymore.
Yeah, killing the front line of them is also kind of relevant with their feet.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Grave Wind. Cost 2, range 6. This is an upkeep spell. Target friendly faction model gains plus 2 defense and Poltergeist. When an enemy misses the model with Poltergeist with an attack, immediately after the attack is resolved, you can choose to push the enemy model D3 inches directly away from the model with Poltergeist.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
It's 15 defense gauges with Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Half full.
So,
it's not the unit, though.
It's one model. Target-friendly model.
But there you go.
It's still
useful.
Yeah.
So next up we have Spell Piercer.
That one's fun.
Let's see here. Range self, area control, cost 2. While within this model's control area, friendly faction model/units weapons gain magical weapon and blessed. Lasts 1 round. Meaning blessed means they ignore the spell effects that give bonuses to armor and defense.
So this is the spell that beats men off.
Mm-hmm.
This is the spell that also kind of sits there and takes anything that's incorporeal and goes.
It hates on crits. Yeah, like they can't, like Black Bane Raiders, Pistol Race, like that. You can actually do something with, but like against Minoth, you can now shoot their jacks with magical with your
spitters
with stuff. You can shoot guys like Errants that like to pick up Defender's Ward. You get to ignore that shit now. It's not bad versus Kador. No. Like, you get to ignore Iron Flesh.
Gives you better play against Colossals as well, because they almost always have an arm buff.
Correct. So
it gives you play against a lot. I mean, basically against everybody.
Really it's really
an all-purpose
good.
Spell, because even Signar is going to sit there and go, well, Arcane Shield don't mean shit.
Yeah.
Nope.
So.
Don't worry about Blur.
Yeah.
Kane.
Sorry.
I mean, you get Spitters.
Spitter, yeah.
Yeah.
Spitters.
They're POW 14, right?
Yeah, they're POW 14.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
Range 12. They'll do some work.
And then last but not least, we have the Legion of Death. That would be Jaga Jaga's feet.
Love the feet.
And hold on a second. Those who wish to perish near Jaga Jaga dance to her will, and their broken bodies become like puppets under her cruel control. The darkness and cold of the grave surrounds them, sowing weakness and vulnerability. Mwahahahaha. When... Damn it, War Room. When a living or undead enemy, non-warlock, non-warcaster warrior model is boxed by an attack while in Jaga Jaga's control area this turn, you can take control of it. If you do, the model becomes a friendly faction undead solo, gains Dark Shroud, and heals 1 damage point, and can immediately make a full advance. During this movement, the model cannot be targeted by free strikes. The model cannot activate and is removed from play when Legion of Death expires. Legion of Death lasts 1 round. While in melee range of a model with Dark Shroud, enemy models suffer minus 2 armor.
All right, so this is definitely a finesse feat, but this feat is incredibly powerful.
Yes.
Basically, you start killing stuff, and it's just a chain reaction of minus 2 armor for the entire army. In addition to the fact that since this lasts for 1 round, those dudes sit and play for another turn, where they get to make free strikes.
Yeah.
Which make it, like, you're jammy. Like, Gators are already kind of a jammy army.
Yeah.
We like to get it. They like to get in there and mix it up. So, like, this just makes it even harder to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, you basically run into their jam, and then their jam turns into more of your own jam.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Because you kill their units and then jam up their lines with their own units.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is awesome.
We got about, little less than 5 minutes to go. Who won the race? We've seen all the casters now.
So, who's got the best?
Yeah, if we were gonna pick a winner.
No, so I like Absolina, but she's very one-dimensional. She is beast. She doesn't have a whole lot of tricks. She's got good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Legion Beasts are already good, but I don't think she adds anything to Legion Beasts that wasn't there before.
Okay.
She just makes them better all the way around.
She gives play to a lot of beasts that didn't see too much these days. Like the Carnivian is going to see it's going to come back here.
So it's again, if you had a beast that you just had like a personal attachment to, but what didn't really make the cut, you could give a better.
Yeah, because I think the Carnivian is better with her than a lot of other.
Now, to be fair, if you're looking at what gets done for a beast, though, no forcing for charges and power attacks.
It's very powerful.
Plus she's, two mat.
Honestly, she's probably insane with Angeliuses.
You can already make them not have to force a charge.
Yeah, but you don't have to make them that way.
You don't have to drop the four points with on the hill of the sorceress. So. The plus two strength to Angeliuses is always huge because of the armor piercing on the first attack. So, I definitely don't think it's Berka.
No, I think Berka's really cool.
I think he's an awesome caster, but he's totally
he's not gonna crack into. I don't think the. I think we said initially he might be the third list in a three list format,
right?
And I think even that'll be the outlier,
right?
So,
and I don't think it's Bradagus. I think he's sweet. I think he's really cool. I get to play stuff with him that I have not gotten to play with Circle.
He seems kind of like he's never really out of a match.
Right,
like
right.
You know, some matches down and you just instantly. Well, not instantly, but you know, this isn't going to go well. It's an uphill battle.
You don't want to play him against Kricks,
yeah,
because like weapon masters and shit like that, they just eat that army alive.
Yeah.
You don't want to play him against Kricks, but like anything with a gun, like Bradagus is probably fine.
Right.
So honestly, I think Xerxes is the best of the new casters.
Okay.
I might even say Jaga Jaga.
And I would say let's. For the purposes of this, because I can already hear the argument being stated, it can't possibly be Helga or Jaga Jaga because they're half of a faction.
Right.
Ignore that part for a moment.
Right.
Just what that caster does for what they have.
I think Jaga Jaga does the most for the tools that she has. Like
right.
She gets the most like impact, I think. I think that Xerxes is the best of these casters.
Okay.
Because he... Unlike a lot of the other Battle Engine casters, he's not going to get shot off the board.
Right.
At armor 19. And mobility is just stupid.
Yeah. It is.
I am obviously partial because of these factions. I only play Gators. And a lot of the Gators casters are very average, if you're being nice about it. Obviously, Rask being the exception.
Yeah.
So now you have a pair for Rask.
Yeah, so now you have... another one to go to. And so I guess I really like the Legion caster. I can't think of her name.
Absolutely.
That's just like her cursory glance would make me think she is probably the best, but probably I guess a bit. Jaga Jaga has a good toolbox of abilities, and her feat offsets a lot of pal issues with the Gators. The Gators can hit stuff pretty reliably. They're rerolling most attacks.
The Gators have a hard time cracking armor.
Yeah,
if they don't get the charge. And a lot of times they're not gonna. Because they're so slow.
So that helps. That makes your baseline, really the only baseline troop you have in that army, that much better.
Monsieur Pinguin.
Yes.
I have to call you something because we have two Chris's this week.
Mm, that's fine.
So, what do you think?
To be honest, absolutely, it just seems ridiculously good.
There you have it from America's favorite black man. He has the jacket to prove it.
I do. But but I mean, but Jaga Jaga, I just like the fact that I can now take my swarms of, you know, get them in policy and other stuff, kill the army in front of me and turn it against them, and jam even more than the Gators already do. I mean, that's... That feat I just like a lot.
Mr. Yoke, what do you think?
So I think that Epic Absolonia is probably just the most straightforward, strongest one out there. She fills kind of the same role that Saren does, you know, lots of beasts that are just all the way over there really quickly, but it's probably less boring to play with.
Well, and I think it has a better punch than Saren. Saren's absolutely got the defensive version of that. She's almost like the offensive counter to Saren.
Yeah. So that'll be nice if I like don't want to run Saren, in, but I still want to run a lot of beasts. But I think the Jaga Jaga does the most for the faction that she's in. That is the biggest upgrade for a faction.
For me, I am scared to death of mobility'd Titans.
Yeah. Like Bronze really Black, honestly, I mean, like, so, like I said, you could just shave those points that you would normally take for the Gladiator. Yeah. You can still take the Gladiator if you want, and you get to get mobility plus Animus on top of that if you want
it. Speed 8 Mammoth, that's pretty good.
And plus, basically, like a Butcher-style feat where everything gets plus damage, so on and so forth. I think Xerxes probably won the race on this one.
Yeah.
Although I would give Jaga Jaga a damn close second, because Jaga Jaga looks like she would just be fun to play.
Yeah.
So that's so much. So I tend to side. So what we got? Absolonia. Mm-hmm. You said Absolonia's probably the best.
Jaga Jaga.
I gotta go Absolonia.
Two for Absolonia, two for Xerxes, and a one for Jaga Jaga, who got a bunch of honorable mentions.
Oh, yeah.
So I will say this, looking at it, I think Jaga Jaga Rask, whereas I don't think any of the other ones necessarily crack into the you take these as your two-guy matchup, Jaga Jaga does. I think your two-man matchup for Gators now, you can make a damn good argument for being Rask and Jaga Jaga instead of like Rask Carver.
Yeah.
So, but there you have it. We have done the obligatory con spoiler episode for Gen Con 2014. Next time around, episode 26, I have no clue what we will probably be talking about, except that I know there's more stuff from Gen Con trickling out and more pieces that came out there, so we'll try to get info on them as they pop up in War Room and such. And until then, I'm Mike.
Nathan.
John.
The Penguin.
Chris.
And we'll see you next time on Rage Quit Radio. You've been listening to Rage Quit Radio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/RQR podcast. You can visit us online at ragequitradio.blogspot.com. Listen to us on Podomatic, ragequitradio.podomatic.com, or find us on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can email us at ragequitradiopodcast@gmail.com.